B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, no!
It's the
Bengals. Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the other.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in the Chest.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we are Toucher and Rich, and we brought to you the Bankroll Boys, Dan Livchek, Joe Murray. They're brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings has a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week. Download DraftKings now. Use code SPORTSUB during sign-up and start feeling the sweat like never before. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. There is much rejoicing in the streets of Peabody and wherever the hell Livchek lives, as they are celebrating Charlie Baker signing into law sports gambling in Massachusetts. Gentlemen, your thoughts?
I'm excited.
You seem it. Wow.
Dan, we can't hear you.
I did the night show last night, and here I am. It's been a celebration partying all night long, man.
Now, did you really, Dan? Your mic's not working. Did you really party all night long?
I did.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, so I was on the night show until midnight.
Were you boozing it up?
No, yeah, no booze at all. But
you get high?
Well, that's fifth given. But yes, and I think Livchek's, we still wondered if the governor would sign, and he finally did. And I predicted it, Livchek. I said that they're going to win.
His mic's not working.
Oh.
And he's the one at the station.
Oh, that's great.
No, right. I think we just heard him right now.
Oh, there he is. What's up,
okay,
Livchek?
There we go. Yeah.
So, Dan, to your point, Joe, Dan, as early or as recently as the beginning of the day yesterday, I think I saw your tweet saying, I'm a little nervous that he hasn't signed it yet. And I think it had been on his desk for a day or a day and a half or something like that.
Like a week, Rich. Not a day.
So it had been okay. I knew that it passed, but I didn't know it actually reached his desk.
Yeah,
for the signing.
The deadline was today. That's why I was like, oh, What's going on? Why haven't we heard anything? Why has it not been signed yet?
Okay, now that it's signed, the million dollar question.
Can we just look at Joe's eyes?
What are you looking at, Joe? You are like, you're like there.
I have two screens. I have two screens.
Oh, okay, okay, all right.
His eyes are like puff puff. Yeah.
It's guys. I literally got 4 hours of sleep, but I'm here. I love
Welcome
you.
Welcome to our world, Joe.
Come on. All right. Well, hey, jeez. I got to work the Patriots game.
Me too.
Now that does suck. Yeah, yeah. We've talked about that. Yeah.
That was a mistake for you to take that gig. Now,
I get paid, bro. They pay me for that.
I know they do. But
what do I think? I thought you did it for
money.
Free.
What? I'm just saying. I'm not going to crap on me making more money.
No. We're saying it's a tough thing.
Oh, it sucks.
Yeah.
You think I want to sit there and talk about Bailey Zappi tonight? I love Bailey Zappi, by the way.
Joe's condition is. Did you take edibles that are just kicking in?
No, man. I'm good. I just woke up.
You're looking like to the left is weirding me out. Like, is there any way you could like? That's very much.
All right,
better.
There we go. I won't look at you guys anymore.
What? Okay, so we're over there. Can you move? Because it does look like
It's not where he's looking. That's the issue. The
it's
issue
the dilation
is,
of the pupils.
No. He's just so puffy in his eyes. Like he looks like a little teddy bear. Like he's like a little Joey Bear.
You're stoned.
I am not. I just woke up.
He's pleased as punch. Look at his eyes and his nose. He's pleased as punch.
What do you look like when you just wake up?
Like crap. Today I actually got up like before the show. There's been days when I've been broadcasting at home. I've gotten up at like 5:50 and going, oh boy, I got to turn on the machine. But Joe, you just look happy. You look nice.
I'm ecstatic. Happy. Yeah.
Now, Dan, you never thought this was going to happen. You never thought this day would come.
No, I thought this was the last chance this year, and basically everything we had heard for the month and a half that they had been negotiating was really negative, and I really didn't think this was going to happen for another 4 years with a person who doesn't exactly back gambling coming into office potentially. And so, yeah, this was something I really didn't think was going to happen. I'm really happy it has. We're up, now that we've kind of gone into the bill, potentially 15 different sports books, which is fantastic to have. More likely going to be 13, after a couple of years, it's going to take a little bit. But, yeah, it's a really great thing, guys. I mean, especially for Joe and I, who have been kind of advocating for this for a while, this is going to give a lot of players options to get the best line. They're going to be able to go to different places and get good lines. And so, honestly, I think this is a great thing for the state, which is finally going to stop giving money out to the states around us. And it's also going to be great for people who actually like to bet and, enjoy a game and not have to bet, $40,000 a game. You can just bet $50, $25, $10 a game and be happy.
So if I'm not mistaken, Lifshatz, there is a meeting today that I think the gambling commission, or I guess this new, they're going to figure out basically how do they get this thing finally started and when, kind of the ways and means are going to happen to where they can open up the ticket windows. Any idea of when, what legislators have been saying, how quickly they think they can get this done?
Yeah, so the rumor on the street is that they're hopeful by October, November, December, and I think that that's probably a likely scenario, probably around November. The mobile licenses are going to take a while to get up and running because they have to do all the connectivity in the back end, and yeah. They also have to clear everyone. They have to have like a bidding for the actual licenses, and then they also have to, kind of go through that entire process. The in-person stuff, I mean, I see no reason why that shouldn't be starting by, week or two in the football season. Like, a lot of these places are ready to go. Encore is ready to go. I mean, I know Joe and I know that for a fact that they're ready to go.
Sure.
Plain Ridge could probably get ready to go within a couple weeks. And I don't know the setup down in MGM, but I'm sure it's probably something similar. We should be taking in-person tickets in a couple weeks.
Now, how much do you two stand to gain from all of this? The Bankroll Boys, are you going to become the Laurel and Hardy, the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis of Boston?
Well, Fred, we are. We talked to Rich about this last week, and congratulations, Rich, on your ride. Do we know what the final number was? By the way, before we
I'm
get into
almost
that?
At 30,000. I'm almost.
No, 30, I mean the time to do it.
Oh, that's right, because you had a bet as to at what time I was going to take a heater, and I never actually I never took a dump. I did stop to pee, and that was at mile 14, yes.
What was your final time, though, for the whole race?
Oh, 2 hours and 26 minutes.
Wow, I hit the under. Well, it goes me, a Kelly's Roast Beef from Revere. Okay. I'm excited for this.
We got our beefs, bro.
We're going to go to Revere Beach. It's open till 3 a.m. I want him to get the real night feel of it. And he owes me a roast beef now.
Are you back on the beefs?
No. I'm no bread. But he owes me one. So I'm excited for this.
So you just dump the roast beef into the carton and just eat the roast beef with a fork?
I would do that, but I haven't had a beef since probably April.
Wow.
So you're gonna have a cheat beef.
Yeah, but no bread. I'll beef it up.
He's been in a beef deprivation chamber.
Are you going to put in like some lettuce wrap or something?
No, I'd probably just eat it a triple beef three-way as it is.
Okay.
As is. But yes, Fred, we have many opportunities that are coming down the pipe, and we are available for any opportunities if anybody wants to hit us up.
That's right. This was a big deal for you guys. And even when you were this high, you were so excited.
I am not high right now. I just rolled out of bed, and I'm here. But it is a celebration.
Yes, it is.
So no one would frown upon it.
Joe, when you first found out it passed, what did you do?
Well, I was shocked. I don't think Lifshatz and I communicated via text. We showed up and talked about it, but. I'm excited, guys. Here's what I heard. I think it's going to be around Thanksgiving or possibly the Super Bowl. But they said several months out. I'm happy about it, but like, I'll ask you guys, would you rather place a bet mobile on mobile or
mobile? Obviously mobile.
I mean, I like the experience of being in a sports book and but the reality with my but tickets. But you're right.
Yeah, but the reality is you probably do it once.
No, I think I would do it probably several times a year. I definitely would do it during tournaments. I would do it probably during a playoff weekend.
I was thinking the football season. Is it probably...
Yeah, for the football season, yeah, I'd probably do it like once during the playoffs. I wouldn't go during the Super Bowl because that's just going to be a madhouse. But, you know, basketball season, there's no question March Madness. I want to be in a sports book. It's one of my favorite things to do. And if I don't have to travel, even better.
Long story short is that people would do more mobily. There's no question. It's just like anything else.
Yeah, you're 100% right, Fred, and that's why the mobile licenses are important. But people also have to remember the tax issues when it comes to mobile apps. So if you win $600 or more on a mobile app, you will get a W-9, you've won money, you owe the state taxes. In person, in tickets, you can win up to $5,000 without getting taxed. So just remember that the big advantage of being in person and winning with tickets, not only can you resell them on the market, is that you also beat the tax loophole, which you won't obviously beat on an app if you win money over the years.
Oh, I didn't know that. So, okay, I was the $5,000, does that just mean if they have to pay you out in one payment, $5,000, they've got to get your W-9? It's not like they would have no way of really tracking whether you've won a total of $5,000 worth of cash over like a certain amount of time. That's just if I placed a one that was my winnings. They have to slide the sheet towards you, right?
Any ticket that's a cash ticket for under $5,000, Rich, you do not have to pay taxes on. But if you win $600 or more over the year when tax season comes on an app, they're going to send you a W-9 for your winnings. So that's going to be the difference.
Well, I never knew that. That is not that I'm going to bet any kind of money that would win me $5,000. I'm not like you guys. Like that's, I mean, how many bets in your life have you placed that single bet that netted you over $5,000?
Oh, I had like a 3-team parlay once that hit for like 15 G's.
It depends. Are we talking about like futures?
Talking about any bet. How many bets have you, single bets have you had? Because I know you guys do mass betting.
Yeah. Have you won or placed? There's a big difference.
Like where you'd have to get a W-9. Like where you ended up winning.
Yeah, I think it's if you bet a lot, it's a handful.
Yeah, 20-25.
Yeah.
Wow. I try. I mean, again, you really want to spread. That's why you really want to spread them out. Like that's like the best idea. When you get tickets, like get 2 tickets, spread them out, et cetera, et cetera. You want to make, you know, they always tell you have one to sell on the market and one to keep for yourself in the future.
Yeah. That's what they all say. Yes.
Yeah. So, dude, you can bet. Grandma used to say. You can bet 2 or 3 teams on the money line and it could get up to 18,000. Like, it can get up to 20 grand if you want. So like if you play the odds right and hit a, you know, you could, our action reverses, boom, boom, boom. Now we're talking some big, big money over 5 grand.
If you had to guess, if you had to guess how much worth of weed have you smoked in the last 6 hours?
Well, it depends. Are we talking medical or are we talking street level? You know what I mean? That's, you know, you'll be surprised the inexpensive prices that are out there
with the street
level. Medical.
What kind is it a Gorilla Glue? Is it
sativa? I don't know. Actually, it's just
you like to be up. You don't want to couch it.
No,
you like the sativas.
Have you tried Big Poppy's new strand?
No, but I want Paul Pierce's too if he's out there.
Is it out yet? I didn't know the Paul Pierce one.
Well,
was
whatever.
Out.
Send them all our way. We will try them. But I just woke up like this, I swear.
Dan, are you a big weed guy?
I am. I have stopped for a little bit because it was I was getting to the point where I was high every single night, so I have stopped completely for about 6 months.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, Joe, no, I'll be back soon.
Joe has stopped for 6 minutes.
I would say 1 a.m. last night.
Your face is my favorite thing right now. It's like you are just in the happiest spot. And then every once in a while, you just like, what is that thing that is shining in the corner of my room? It's like, be honest, this is a treat. It's a pure treat this morning, Joe Murray.
Joe, are you on for Rich tomorrow?
No, I'm doing Pat's post game till into the night. So.
I was gonna say you got to get super high before. You
hey, I do, and I know we got to go to break, but I do have a segment that we need to talk about down the line. I think I'm with you guys next week, but I have a drive-by pooper situation going on in my house.
Oh no, we'll talk about that now. So there's someone who's
our
coming.
Ken's shocked.
There's someone who's coming by your house and taking a dump in your lawn.
It's a dog, and somebody is not cleaning up after themselves.
Oh, okay. So
instead of going Joey Hyde Park on him, took proactive routes, and I ended up getting a sign with a poop bag, and I think we've solved the problem so far.
All right, you didn't go Hyde Park on him. That's all you need to know.
No, because I was pissed. What if I pooped in their yard?
Well, you pooped in their yard.
That's what I think the dog pooped. They would think the dinosaurs were back. All right, very good. Everyone loves the Bankroll Boys.
Hey, it's a big game tonight.
Yeah, yes, okay, I agree.
I do agree. You guys, the one thing you've always said, and we'll talk about this when we get back, one thing you've always said is that making money in the preseason, it's one of the easiest ways to make cash gambling. I think it's like what you said, WNBA and preseason football. And that sounds like, I mean, first of all, it's insane. I always thought it was crazy to bet on preseason, but you're telling me it's a big money maker. I'd like to find out how to make some money tonight.
All right, we'll have all of that for you coming right up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We're waking up. Boston sports fans.
It really feels like a big-time radio show.
Trocher and Rich.
Are you listening out there?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. We're the Trocher and Rich radio program, and Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray, Dan Lipschitz are here. Sports gambling is coming. It's legalizing. Yes.
Do me a favor. Just go to our Twitter account real quick. And I would actually recommend everyone else doing the same thing. Toucher and Rich.
How'd you do that?
Did you make that?
I just did that during the break. It's the many faces. It's the many faces of Joe Murray this morning.
He's having fun.
Yes. He's
Everyone
feeling
loves
it this
Joe
morning.
Murray. Everyone loves Joe Murray. It's him saying beefs. No beefs. Beefs. I'll give you here are the top three lines.
All right. Just go
top three
each face.
Pitches.
It's basically like the Brady Bunch. It's not the faces of Joe Murray.
I'm just gonna do the top three. So we're going across top three.
Okay.
You got beefs? No. Yeah, he got beefs.
And then maybe you got beefs. That's the one on the left.
If you want to talk about on the side,
in the middle
onion rings.
I'm so glad they got beefs. And then the sixth one is, but do they have beefs?
All right, so Joe Murray's got a face everyone loves. All right, so why is preseason football so easy to bet on, guys?
It's not that it's so easy to bet on. It's that you can make a good amount of money if you are making sure you pay attention and you're making sure you beat the line. For instance, when you know, it came out yesterday that the Cleveland Browns were going to start Deshaun Watson in the game on Friday. That line was Jacksonville minus 3. Once Watson was declared the starter for the game and said he was going to play a couple series, that line swung from plus 3 to minus 1.5, minus 2 some places now. So you're getting some really good CLV. I mean, you basically take a look at the games all on Friday. Atlanta or Detroit was originally a 3-point dog. Now they're pick 'em. Philly was a 3-point dog. They're now a 1-point favorite. You know, I mean, you just kind of go down the, you know, down the path. You're going to get some really good numbers. The Colts were a three and a half point dog. They're now a 1-point favorite. So again, all you really need to do is pay attention. Make sure that you're following the local beat guys. Make sure you're following everything that's kind of going on, you know, with the teams, and you're going to be able to get some good information before most in the market does, and you'll be able to beat the numbers. And usually when that happens, you're probably getting a good number. And, you know, CLV is pretty valuable, which is closing line value, and usually you win. That's, I mean, again, most of the pros care more about where the number closes than actually if they win or lose, because if you beat the number, you're going to win more often than not.
Okay, right, so, what
is your feeling on Mac Jones playing tonight?
I was about to read this. Mike Reese tweeted. He says Mac Jones and most of the Patriots starters aren't expected to play.
That's crap.
Sources tell him. So he says that you're not going to see him.
Yeah,
no. So that's stupid. And I think that
it is stupid.
Listen, Tom Brady played in the first preseason game after they won the Super Bowl. They could have sat him out. It was meaningless. He went like 7-11 opening pass with 62 yards to Deion Branch. Like, Mac Jones needs the experience. He needs to be out there. But you know what this is? They suck at practice, so therefore they're going to suck in a game, and I'd fade them like hell tonight.
Well, yeah, it's, what, 1.5? Is that what you said it is?
Yeah.
All right.
And, and Brian Daboll, former coordinator for the Patriots, who was with Buffalo, he's going to have all his starters playing tonight, which a lot of people could get on him about it, but that team's good. They just have injuries all over the place on their skill positions. So if the Patriots aren't going to play their skill guys, and they are, I think this is going to be a romp for the Giants.
All right, that sounds like easy money, doesn't it? I mean, if it stays at 1.5, Dan, am I crazy in thinking that seems like an easy bet?
Well, one and a half was gone yesterday, so I don't know where that line was given. 1.5 has been gone since about 2 o'clock yesterday.
Oh.
It's 2.5, 3 most places, and most of them are 3 at this point, especially with the recent news coming out. I expect that to move. I mean, this should probably be Giants 3.5, 4 by the afternoon, is my guess, based upon the fact that the Patriots won't be playing their starters. The Giants will be playing their starters at least for a few drives, so that's going to be the difference there.
So, but my question is, if you're, this is obviously the Patriots saying we're not prepared to play a game.
Yes, they're not ready to play football. When has a Bill Belichick team ever done that? It should be like really noted. And I know there are people out there who say the preseason doesn't matter. Well, for Mac Jones' development, it does. He needs these reps. But I'll throw some trends out there for everybody. The Patriots are 8-3 against the spread their last 11 preseason games. The under is 7-2 in the last 9 between the Giants and the Patriots. I think Giants and the under is the way to go tonight.
Boy, the unders, it's pretty low. What is it, 34, I think, for this game, Dan? Has that changed as well? Because I'm outdated with the points, or outdated with the spread.
Yeah, that's around 33.5, 30. But again, it's for a preseason. I mean, look, that's a pretty standard number. The other game that's going tonight is the Titans-Ravens. The over-under in that one is 31.5. So preseason, you're going to see low to mid-30s. That's pretty standard in a preseason game.
Okay. Last week's Vegas game went over 27-11. It went over the total.
So the whole game's going to be this jackass from Western Kentucky.
Yeah, Bailey Zappe. Yeah, mm-hmm. through 62 touchdowns last year, Houston Baptist. I mean, Dan, I think he was good. Now, you could question the competition. This dude lit it up and was the reason why Western Kentucky, you know, beat Indiana and was a bowl team a year ago.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with Joe. He came into Western Kentucky and completely changed the entire program, and they brought in a few guys from the Houston Baptist program when he transferred over. He was an incredible FCS player and was really, really good. He had some really big moments last year. He played really well, I believe, against Michigan State, too. He was, I mean, again, so this is not a kid who's come in and played basically no competition and you know, whatever.
Should be expectations with this kid.
I agree. And I think he'll be competent tonight. Again, still a rookie with a maybe not a brand new system, but a new-ish system, especially for him. I think this is going to be a tough game for him, especially with the Patriots' offensive struggles. Obviously, we've heard everything that's going on in camp. So, again, Joe and I talked about the other day. I gave out Pats minus 1.5 and under 34 on Twitter a couple days ago. Or, sorry, the Giants minus 1.5, excuse me, and the under 34 a couple days ago. I think we're going to end up seeing that and those numbers creep up very, you know, Giants minus 3.5, 4 tonight, and then the under probably, you know, takes a little bit of a dive again with no Patriots starters in.
Well, so the other preseason game, and you briefly touched on it, is that I think that a lot of people are interested in is this Browns game. Because, I mean, when the announcement came yesterday that Deshaun Watson was going to start, you know, that's a I can't believe they're going to let that happen moment. It was almost like a dare. Like, all right, well, now you got to do something, make some sort of move. Does the betting public, does Vegas, by what you've seen from the movement of the spread, do they believe that he indeed will take the field and something's not going to happen right before the game?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's going to play. The line moved, you know, 4.5 points just based upon the fact that Watson's going to start. I think that he will start. I'd be, you know, very surprised if he didn't. They probably want to get him as much game time as they can early on, especially if they think he's going to be able to be available at some point this season, which as of right now, he will be after 6 games. We'll find out. But the fact is that, yeah, they're going to try and play him. And I mean, look, it's the preseason, guys. Like, you know, this is when you kind of do that stuff and integrate him within, you know, within the team and get him some real snaps. And
I know they want him to be there. I just can't think that the league is thrilled that you're going to see him actually on an NFL football field at any point at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I mean, look, when Brady was suspended for those 4 games, Brady played in the preseason. It's going to be the same thing. They don't have the jurisdiction to do that over preseason games because that's not the rule. The rule is regular season games. They haven't made a jurisdiction rule over preseason games. So that would be, if they want to count preseason games towards Deshaun Watson suspension, I'm sure the Browns would absolutely love that.
All right. And anything else you guys like today or this weekend?
Well, I think it's worth mentioning just the Kevin Durant thing. The Celtics are the favorites to land him. I think these are the two scenarios. I think that he's definitely going to be a Boston Celtic, or the Heat are going to swoop in, do the Simmons Bam Adebayo swap, and he's going to Miami. And I think the Celtics might have to do the move. I think if Miami gets Durant, they're going to be the favorites in the East.
I agree to disagree with Joe. I don't think they have the Celtics really have much interest in Durant. I think the story's overblown, and I think the Nets are using the Celtics for leverage to kind of force their opponents or people who may be interested, like the Miami Heat, like, you know, the Philadelphia 76ers, to try and actually come in with a legitimate offer that isn't just Tyler Herro or, you know, whatever Daryl Morey is offering. So I think that this is going to be a situation where the Celtics are probably being used, and I think we've seen that reporting from the likes of the Boston Globe, et cetera, that this is probably more of them being used in a situation than the Celtics making the deal.
But they made an offer. I mean, they made an offer.
No, they didn't. They made an inquiry, and then it was reported that they made an offer, but the offer was already denied by pretty much everyone in the Boston media, including...
It wasn't denied by the Celtics.
The Celtics are not going to come out and say we didn't make an offer.
Why not?
Because the teams don't do that. I mean, there's guys who are connected all the time.
If they made up a story and it wasn't true, why wouldn't they come out and say, that's not true?
Because teams don't do that. When was the last time? I mean, teams get used in the media all the time. When was the last time that some teams came out and said, we didn't make that offer?
Wait, wasn't the story, though, that the Patriots, I'm sorry, the Celtics did make an offer?
Yes, and Bull Pett basically said that's completely not true. The offer was never there. They inquired on Kevin Durant like 29 other teams in the league.
Okay, see, I didn't hear that the story wasn't true from Bull Pett. I just heard that they're pissed that this came
out.
Bull Pett said basically that they made an inquiry, that there was no offer.
Dan, I agree kind of a little bit of both. I think that they did make the offer because I think if you just read everything that's out there, I don't think Sham's making it up. I don't think Woj Jarowski is, you know, making it up. There's too much heat there. But I do believe you, and I think that the Nets are absolutely trying to take that little nugget, that little moment, and leverage it to try to get get some sort of heat for a trade for Kevin Durant. And I also believe that the Celtics' interest has waned. I think at this point, they're probably soured on the Nets, the way that they do business. And I think that everything that's happened, they now know that they're at a stalemate because they don't want to make that move at the front office. They don't want to get rid of Steve Nash. And they know they have to do something with Kevin Durant. So they're leaking all this stuff out.
Durant's running out of options.
No, he's not. Why is Durant running out of options? It's August.
He wanted to go to Phoenix.
Okay.
It can't work out. They don't have a trade partner.
He wants to go
to Miami. Those were his two candidates. And all of a sudden now.
I don't believe
just
that.
Just hear me out for a second, damn it. just hear me out. Why are the Celtics all of a sudden at the top of the list? Because he wants to play with Marcus Smart? That's complete crap. It's because nobody else has an offer. So the Celtics are the only team on the table, and now Philly's name's coming up. What I'm telling you is this. The fact is that the guy wants to go to Phoenix or Miami, and they aren't moving. They're not budging, and nobody else is. Everyone else is soured on him. So now it's the Celtics or bust at this point.
Yeah,
I'm not saying they're going to do the deal. I'm just saying that, all of a sudden now they're the team he wants to go to because of Marcus Smart? That's crap.
Yeah, I just don't agree that there were two teams on his list. I think there were probably three or four teams on his list. Two are made public so that people knew through CMs and Woj. So one team is off his list. So now the Celtics are on the list because one team is off his list. He's not running out of options. The Nets are trying to basically leverage other teams into trading more for a guy that really isn't that valuable because he's 34 years old, has asked off two teams in the past couple years, and clearly it can't commit anywhere he goes. So why would any team give up valuable assets when everyone already knows the Nets have to trade this guy, regardless of what it is?
That's what I'm saying. He wasn't on the list before, now he is.
Yeah, but I don't think he's on the list. I think they're just saying that he's on the Nets' best option is to make it seem like the Celtics are offering Jaylen Brown and more so that they can actually get it. And obviously, in order to do that, it has to sound like Kevin Durant wants to be here.
All right, well, listen.
Who would have thought Marcus Smart's the reason why the Celtics could get Kevin Durant? I do agree with Dan to that point. It sounds a little crazy.
We haven't talked about that yet, and we will in a little bit, because there was some interesting stuff, nuggets that came out with about the Celtics-Durant thing just keeps on growing, and it's going to until there's a trade. But, that's an interesting little part of it.
Sorry to be cranky, Joe, for a minute, Dan.
You're cranky.
I miss High Joe. Where's High Joe? Bring him back. Bring back Stony Joe.
Joe needs to take another rip over here. All right. Bankroll Boys, hear them live 7 to 9 Saturday mornings. And over under 98.5 podcast, wherever your best podcast can be heard. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Think that we think we're superstars.
No.
We get kicked in the reality nuts about once a week.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now he has asked for a trade and it hasn't been granted. He has asked for the coach and general manager to be fired and that hasn't been granted. And so now, how do you go forward and report to training camp when you've been told no? And that's the now coming drama with this situation.
Rings, French fries, and beefs.
They do exist. And pretty soon, when we're all back in studio and Joe Murray's there, we'll play What's in Joe's Sack, where we have to guess what restaurant the food is from by Joe's nonverbal reaction.
Just rummaging through the bag and going, ooh. That'd probably be a roast beef, but then like Kowloon would be like,
yeah, I told you Kellen would be a knowing, like, of course, you cads.
That picture is, or those pictures are just fantastic.
Did you just take pictures throughout the thing?
I just, that was all within like a minute period. Like, that was just for a minute. Those are the, all of those reactions happen within a minute's time. Because I noticed for the first like 3 minutes of it, Joe was just kind of staring with like a little smile on his face, but big open eyes, like staring off to the right, you know, just kind of in a zone. And that's when we said, all right, well, something's obviously up. And when we started talking to him about it, that's when I started taking the pictures. And all of those moments are within like a 60-second period. The range, full range of emotions you can see right now at @Toucher and Rich on our Twitter page or our Instagram. But the man is having quite a run over these last few weeks. He is definitely, it's great news for the bankroll boys. And hey, listen, no problem in celebrating a little bit.
Someone on Twitter said you should make a T-shirt of the faces of Joe Murray, and I second that.
Well, Joe Murray loves merch. The Bankroll Boys went through about a year's span where it was all about the merch, baby. They were like, bring it on. I need a little merch. So they are no strangers to wanting that. So that could happen. That could definitely happen.
Hope so. Yep. Somebody said, you know, what Joe Murray are, you know, what Joe Murray are you this morning? And people are picking how they feel. You know, I'm number six. Just kind of a quizzical. Then there's the number five, which is just laughing, the laughing to myself, Joe Murray. Oh, so many faces, so many ways to go. But they did bring up that whole Celtic situation. And that was, of course, Brian Windhorst. The many faces of Brian Windhorst, too, like pointing up and saying, hey, why would that happen? But weird stuff breaking yesterday with the Celtics on a story that just seems to continue to grow legs the more desperate the Nets get. One thing we did learn, though, was that I guess Brooklyn initially wanted both Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, which I don't blame them. You ask for the moon, of course, in any kind of player negotiation, I would think. And they, of course, laughed at him and said no. But now, after this whole talk that Kevin Durant had with the Brooklyn Nets, where he said it's either I go or Steve Nash and the GM go. And, of course, Joe Tsai, the owner, came out in support of Steve Nash and the owner. As for now, it's something leaked out of New York saying that Durant now sees Boston as his desired landing spot. That is where he wants to play. And then it said Durant would also like to play with Boston's Marcus Smart if he is traded to the Celtics, per people familiar with the matter. In other words, if you're going to trade me, you better not include Marcus Smart in that deal, because I don't want him in Brooklyn while I'm playing in Boston. He's one of the main reasons that he wants to be there. That's a weird nugget, but it was thrown out there, and maybe he sees something that, you know, a lot of Celtics fans don't see. I think Marcus Smart's extremely valuable. He gets written off a lot around these parts, but apparently Kevin Durant does as well. On top of that, there was another nugget that came out as well, almost on the heels of, hey, he wants to play for the Celtics. Now it's like, you know what? I'll play with James Harden, too. I'll reunite with the guy that things didn't work out well with, and I'll go down to Philadelphia. Well, that sounds fantastic. And if I'm the Nets, I say, all right, well, I'll take Joel Embiid, and they'll say no, of course. And then how will you feel if you're the 76ers? Then you've basically just taken last year's Nets team and made them your team. I don't see how that could be anything, you know, much better than the results that you got before. And then there is also the news, you know, there's all these people talking about, would Jaylen Brown be pissed off with all of these rumors and his names being thrown out there? The one thing that people aren't talking about is that, you know, first of all, Jaylen Brown has said over and over that he has no desire to leave Boston. I don't buy a ton into that. Athletes say that all the time, but when it comes down to money and contracts and where you want to be, everything can change at the last minute. But there is a way that he would be able to make a ridiculous amount of money, and that is, of course, he can make the a massive deal. As a matter of fact, if he made one of three All-NBA teams that he's going to have in this contract, or win Defensive Player of the Year or MVP during the next couple seasons, he'll be eligible for that massive contract. 5 years and $273 million. Now, can he make an All-NBA team over that period of time? Absolutely. Definitely. I think that he's got a chance of it. Yeah, I think he absolutely has a shot to do that. If he's going to be offered the $273 million contract with the Celtics, which the Celtics would give him if he was obviously good enough to make one of those teams, isn't that more incentive to stick around? Isn't that kind of almost kill the narrative that he would want to leave because he wants to be the guy? And he's going to be on a team that's obviously winning a lot of games. He's going to be a star if he makes an All-NBA team. And he's going to be getting paid more here than he could get paid anywhere else. So that kind of crushes that narrative when it comes to the whole Kevin Durant, well, he's going to leave in 2 years anyway. I'm telling you, the more and more I think about this, the less I have any desire to have Kevin Durant.
Maybe it would give the Celtics more of an incentive to trade him. Because then you don't have to give him the $273 million.
Well, you'd have to give Kevin Durant money.
Yeah, I know. But because almost everyone agrees in the short term with Kevin Durant, you have a better chance of winning a championship. So if I have a better chance of winning a championship in the short term, and then if they win a championship with Durant, none of this ancillary stuff matters.
Right, but if. You know, I mean, that's of course, but that's a massive if.
Brown making All-NBA is a big if, too. I mean, it's not guaranteed he's going to do that. And if he doesn't, you know, I know he said he doesn't want to leave, but Kyrie said that, too. And who's Jalen hanging out with right now? You know, it's kind of their. I don't really believe that.
They've been friends for a while, and it hasn't affected the way that he does business on the court. You know what I mean? It's like the stink from Kyrie Irving has not been left on Jalen Brown. I mean, you could tell by the way he played in the playoffs.
Well, we don't know that yet.
I don't know that.
We don't know that at all.
I'm talking about him staying, not on the court, how they play on the court. I'm talking about him re-signing and what happens when the contract's up. That's the Kyrie comparison I'm scared of. On the court, whatever. But, you know, if that's what he's saying, I'm sorry, I don't know that I believe it.
He has said all the right things. He's acted the right way. He's done nothing to indicate that he's got any kind of malfeasance toward, or is that the right word, any kind of hatred towards the Celtics.
What would be the incentive to do that?
People do it all the time, fire their wings off team, but themselves off team. Kevin Durant's doing it. I mean, players say this all the time.
All right, you're comparing Jalen Brown to Kevin Durant?
I'm saying that players do it all the time. I mean, can
players Jalen Brown's age that are in his where he is in his career do it all the time?
When did Butler do it? How old was he when he fired his way off of his team before he went to Philadelphia?
Three teams.
Yeah, three teams. Right. Yeah. I mean, Minnesota. I mean, this does happen.
He was better than Jalen Brown, and B, I don't know, maybe a year older, but I mean, he also didn't go to a championship. He wasn't in the championship finals.
It's not a guarantee, but there's no incentive.
And why would he fire himself off a team he's got 2 years? I don't know. There's no incentive for him to say anything but he wants to be here. It's saying he wants to be here keeps every door open.
It does. It does. And that's the way you should do it. And I have a feeling that you take a look at what this team went through with Kyrie and all of the drama and all the garbage and how it kind of screwed with the heads of the players for a while. They finally got back to where they're in a place where everyone's buying in. They've got they've got one voice that they're listening to, and that's Ime Udoka. One guy. And it's working. It's obviously working. You bring in Kevin Durant, if there's any kind of power struggle, and I know there's this whole "I love Ime Udoka." You know, we work together. What on the Team USA? Like we've got a great relationship. I respect the guy. He was throwing all these platitudes at Steve Nash when Steve Nash came there. Steve Nash is his guy. He brought him in, and I can't tell you how many times I have to say. You couldn't design it. You couldn't have given Kevin Durant more of what he wanted. He wanted all of this. He wanted to be in Brooklyn. He wanted to bring his two buddies. He got his two buddies. He wanted to get DeAndre Jordan. They brought him in. He wanted Steve Nash. They brought him in. He wanted all of this. He wanted the extension. And it still wasn't good.
Well, there was a lot of stuff that happened that no one could have thought of, like COVID and all that. All right, we got a break. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.